always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined on this fine Sunday afternoon, World Cup final Sunday afternoon, by you guys. The way this is working, I have the game on over there. I would imagine most of you guys watching this right now also has the game on somewhere. So we're, for the first half of this thing, roughly, going to watch the World Cup game together. And while we watch this World Cup game together, I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit about the Lu Dort trade that happened earlier this afternoon. So, and there's a lot to talk about, stemming from that Lu Dort trade. We have the Oklahoma City Thunder getting worse this offseason. That is great to see. As they were so far out ahead of the, pack from a talent standpoint, they come back to the pack and the Western Conference, I think, gets more interesting as a result. You have the grand kind of miscalculation, the grander scale miscalculation that the Lakers had and carried into this summer as part of their planning for the summer of 2026. We'll kind of go through that. Jonathan Kuminga, right, with Lu Dort going to Atlanta. That's another wing there who is going to be there in Atlanta. Jonathan Kuminga's options just went down by a team, I suspect, today. So we'll talk about his options out there as we head into yet another week of LeBron decision watch. So a ton to get to on those fronts. We will also, over the course of the show, monitor the chat. I already see that JP248 is in there saying, go Lakers. They are not playing right now, but yeah, go Lakers. Unfortunately, the Summer League Lakers did wrap up their Summer League last night. They lost to the Warriors in the Summer League semis and will not obviously play in the Summer League final there in Vegas. Still, I think a very successful run there for the Summer League Lakers. So if you guys want to talk about that, hit me with a question about them in the chat. And yeah, we'll get on out of here roughly around halftime or so, or whenever we run out of things to talk about from the chat. And I will send you guys off on your World Cup final and Game of Thrones Sunday. It is a stellar Sunday lined up for those of you who have interests that align with mine. All right. A reminder before we dive in, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Please turn on notifications both for the show and for YouTube so you get the notifications for the show. Please subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcast, preferably on Odyssey, but wherever you get them is perfectly fine with me. Today's show, as are all of our shows here on YouTube, is brought to you in video form by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and set a $5 lineup of your own, and you will get $50 worth of free lineups on Prize Picks. So check them out. I already placed my selection for this game. I just think if you get plus money for Lionel Messi, that is the smart decision. So that is what I went with, even though I do believe that Spain is the better side. So we'll see how that turns out. But the good thing is if Argentina does pull this thing off, I would be able to pull out those winnings immediately to get them ready for Avery's donut money tomorrow morning, which is, I think, the whole point. All right. Let's dive on in to this Lu Dort trade. According to Shams Charania of the ESPN, the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Dallas Mavericks and the Atlanta Hawks agreed to a trade that would send Lu Dort to Atlanta, Zachary Risache to Dallas, Ryan Nemhard goes from Dallas to Atlanta, and Oklahoma City gets, I think, 3 second-round picks for their part in this as well. Oklahoma City ducks well below the second apron, and obviously lightens their luxury tax payments. So congratulations to their owners. Congratulations to the fans of that team who now get to watch a worse team next season for the sake of their owners' luxury tax payments. The Dallas Mavericks had been interested in Reese Hoshea for a little while, and they get their guy at a very low asking price. So, you know, that's an interesting team that moves, you know, squarely into the Cooper Flagg era. What this means for Daniel Gafford and PJ Washington and guys who don't necessarily fit that timeline is going to be interesting to watch as well. And then for Atlanta, they get yet another stellar wing defender, point of attack defender in Lu Dort. I can't wait for the first game between Oklahoma City and Atlanta, so that I get to watch those dweebs in OKC whine and bitch about the way that Lu Dort plays basketball, the way that we have all been telling them he plays basketball, only now he won't be doing so for their team. And so that reaction is going to be really fun to watch. But yeah, the part of this that matters the most in terms of basketball here is that the Oklahoma City this year, they lose Aaron Wiggins. They lose Lu Dort. Who else did they lose this summer? Who was it? Isaiah Joe. They also lost Isaiah Joe earlier this summer. Those are three useful players. And yes, I agree that, you know, with Trill here in that, Lu Dort was awful in the playoffs. Sure, you're right. However, Lu Dort, Isaiah Joe, and Aaron Wiggins were all part of this overwhelming, like, just absolutely daunting rotation that the Thunder had for the last couple of years or so that led to the ridiculous win totals that they were having year in, year out. So, like, yeah, it's possible that Oklahoma City, you know, finds people to kind of step in and be okay in some of these roles. But there's now question about it, right? Had OKC just eaten the tax payment, eaten the opportunity or you know, the fact that they had to go into the second apron, like had they done those things, the conference would have been squarely theirs again next season for the losing. And yes, San Antonio beat them. San Antonio beat them soundly. But at the end of the day too, right, like seeding and matchups and paths that teams have to take through the playoffs, that stuff really matters in today's league. And now, because OKC isn't going to be so overwhelming with every wave of players that come off of their bench or start for them. Now, it isn't just written in at least pencil that OKC is going to go into next season and we can all assume that they're going to win 60, 65 plus games, right? Next year, it's possible that win total comes down, which means that there might be more wins available for other teams around the Western Conference. And which gives other teams a chance, more of a chance, at securing that top seed. And, you know, for the Lakers, I think they're going to be a good regular season team. And I think it's going to be absolutely critical for them that they have as easy a path through the playoffs as they could possibly have. So if the Lakers do churn out a bunch of wins, and if the win total necessary to get the top seed in the West comes down from whatever it was, 60, however many games OKC won the last couple of years, if it comes down from 60 plus to 50 to 60 or 55 to 60, well, then now all of a sudden that makes things a little bit more interesting for a team that I think is built to win a bunch of regular season games. So, you know, and then also importantly pointed out here by JP248, Lou Dort, Isaiah Joe, and Aaron Wiggins, those guys all go east. And yeah, I think that's also nice to see that the talent level, you know, has dissipated a little bit from the Western Conference. And we're going to see maybe a little bit more balanced talent levels between the Eastern and Western conferences. So, yeah, I think that at the end of the day, from a basketball standpoint, if we're just analyzing this as a basketball trade, and if we're analyzing the Western Conference as a basketball conference, today was a good day for the Lakers. Today was a good day for everybody in the Western Conference that doesn't play in Oklahoma City. And I think that is always worth noting whenever it happens, especially as Shams is out there carrying water for the tax savings and the fact that they got second rounders, despite everybody knowing that they had to shed taxable salary. Like, yeah, sure. Well done. You guys did. It's like Brad Stevens winning executive of the year last year for making the Boston Celtics worse. Way to go, bud. You got further away from a championship and then eventually positioned yourself in a spot where you still had to trade Jaylen Brown, executive of the year, Brad Stevens. So it'll be hilarious if Oklahoma City or Sam Presti wins executive of the year next year for getting second round picks to make his team worse. But end of the day here for the Lakers and for everybody who has to compete with OKC on a night by night basis here in the Western Conference, today was a good day. This was a good weekend. This has been a good off season from that specific standpoint. Now, to give a little bit of credit, albeit partial, Rob Pelinka and the Lakers did see this coming, right? When the apron system was put into place, the Lakers kind of looked around and their front office kind of looked around at other cap situations throughout the league and calculated that this was the year that a lot of these teams would have to make some very tough decisions on their books or on players to clear their books or to get their books more right. And they were correct in that happening around the league, right? A lot of this is going to be the first year in the history of this iteration of the CBA that there will be no teams heading into the season above the second apron. And so the Lakers, seeing that coming and preparing for it, made a little bit of sense. Now, where I think they miscalculated pretty immensely was in the belief that they would benefit directly from those cap-conscious decisions. And, you know, the Lakers, you know, they headed into the offseason and they had people asking, like, what would we think about a Lou Dort? Is there a possibility that the Lakers could get an Isaiah Hartenstein? Is that, you know, could the Lakers wind up with a Jaden McDaniels if Giannis gets traded to Minnesota? Is it possible that they get, you know, and the list kind of went on from there. All of these players who might be cap casualties and could become available to the Lakers. Problem is Cam Johnson and those Denver guys come into this, fall into this category as well. Problem for the Lakers was they went into this summer and it became abundantly clear really early on that Sam Presti, and, you know, Tim Connelly and, whoever is running the Nuggets, whose name, slips my mind right now, but those teams in the West basically did whatever they could to avoid sending cap casualties to the Lakers or even to the Western Conference at all. All of the cap casualties that the Thunder had to deal with this year went east. We'll see what some of these decisions look like for Denver once the Peyton Watson situation is figured out. But as it stands right now, none of those starters went to the Lakers or ever really got close to going to the Lakers. So, like this is where like the and this was a hole in the logic of the summer of 26 plan or Project 2026, whatever we want to call it. Like this was, I thought, a pretty like clear issue with the plan was, well, wait, why would Sam Presti send Lou Dort to the Lakers? Why would Sam Presti send Isaiah Hartenstein to the Lakers? Why would the Nuggets, who hate the Lakers, send Mr. Nugget, Aaron Gordon, to the Lakers, a team that they set like the Nuggets celebrated beating the Lakers almost as much as they celebrated winning the championship itself. So like I never really liked this aspect of the plan. I was pretty uncomfortable with this being part of the plan, you know, like the whole, well, we'll benefit from this cap casualty and maybe this guy might become available to us and stuff. Like, I always kind of wondered, well, wait, why would those teams help the Lakers? There are 28 other teams that they could send those players to if they can. And you know, at the end of the day, that's how it played out, right? Those guys who maybe could have been Lakers have all gone elsewhere or not moved at all, right? In the case of Hartenstein, he extended at a lower number. And OKC was able to keep him longer term despite their cap concerns and their tax concerns or their apron concerns. So it doesn't like it matters in that, like, you don't like to see these kinds of miscalculations from a front office. It matters in that, like, this was an aspect of their summer plans that never came close to coming to fruition. It doesn't necessarily matter in that the Lakers were able to put together a fairly good roster regardless. We'll see what comes of this Kuminga situation. We'll talk about that in a bit, but like it's not like it matters whether it doesn't matter or it does matter. Like, that is kind of beside the point. I think it's just worth noting these things just for, you know, for future reference, you know, how unlikely it is that teams, even when faced with some of these apron issues, these luxury tax concerns, how unlikely it is that they're going to help the Lakers if it can be avoided. And you know, just for future plans and for future summers and for other opportunities that the Lakers see down the road, even if they calculate correctly that some of these tax concerns or these tax bills are going to hit the table at any given summer or whatever, you know, Rob, whether it's because of his lack of relationships around the league that are as productive as some of the relationships that other teams have with, you know, other front offices, or whether it's because, you know, it's the Lakers and they are expected to pay that infamous Lakers tax, which I do think is a real thing. You know, the Lakers, I don't think can just bank on, oh yeah, sure, like those teams will line up to help us. No, it's just not going to happen. All right. Let's go ahead and discuss, for the 17th straight day, Jonathan Kuminga. So Kuminga, right, heading into the weekend, thought that and by the way, I had heard that the Hawks were open to bringing back Jonathan Kuminga, you know, at a reasonable number. Maybe not a number that Kuminga would have liked or Kuminga's camp would have liked, but at a reasonable-ish number. Atlanta would have been somewhat open to bringing Jonathan Kuminga back. They gave up something to get him. They, you know, liked some of what they saw from Kuminga on the court. We're kind of frustrated from what I've heard about some of what they saw from Kuminga and his camp off of the court. But at the end of the day, you know, now that Lu Dort is in Atlanta, and he is probably, you know, between him and Dyson Daniels and their all-star, who I'm forgetting, their top wing. Gosh, what's Atlanta's roster? Hawks roster NBA. Jalen Johnson, duh. Like, if they, you know, between those guys and the guys that they have on the wing now, like, there just aren't the minutes for Jonathan Kuminga. The other part of this too is, you know, like, one of the things that I think is always worth paying attention to is how the returns on a trade are framed by Shams Charania, because he's always going to highlight the things that teams and agents tell him to highlight. And one of the things that he highlighted was the fact that now the Hawks, by way of this trade, could go into next summer with upwards of $40 million in cap space. And if you're telling Shams about your potential cap space next year, well, that means that you probably aren't interested in giving Jonathan Kuminga a big contract that cuts into a lot of that cap space. And so, like, you know, whether it's the minutes, whether it's their cap moving forward, like, I just don't see Atlanta as a possibility for Kuminga, which now means that you got you have basically, like, from what I can tell, two teams that might be interested or might make sense for Kuminga now. One of them, obviously, the Lakers. And as I said the other day, I do think that the Lakers and Dort have, like, a rough understanding of what, like, his contract could potentially look like if Atlanta does give the go-ahead on a sign-and-trade deal.